Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Brief, a podcast by MIPRA. My name is Ola Zeidan. I'm your host for today. I am the Media and Influencer Relations Manager at Weber Shandwick Minat. I work in Dubai, but I work with many content creators around the region. So for me, as many of you, working in a field where there is creativity, where there is collaboration, influencers, and engagement, it's a very, very interesting field. I find working in this industry as a very thrilling ride that's always evolving. There's growing demand from clients to work with influencers, and platforms are increasing, content formats are increasing, and that gives a lot of variety of creativity and content. So this ever-changing trends in the landscape is always interesting to be a part of. So also, this evolution is a part of what drove Weber Shandwick's report, Influencer Arabia. It aims to elevate the perspective of influencers and content creators in the region, but also shares perspective with influencers and clients on how to work better together to create powerful and stronger partnerships. So in this episode, we'll dive deep into the findings of the report. We'll find some really interesting learnings that are valuable for brands, agencies, communicators, and creators in the region. So if you are interested to read the full report, it's downloadable on webershandwickmina.com. So before we start today's discussion, I'd like to give a big thank you to MIPRA for giving us this platform and opportunity to set up this discussion. We have some great speakers with us today that I'm very happy to introduce, and giving them the invite to each give you a bit of their experience in the market. To start with, welcome to Ronald Ballett, the Director of Communications at General Motors in Africa and the Middle East.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Ronald, currently the Director of Communications at Africa Middle East for General Motors. I've been at General Motors for almost 10 years now, mostly in the communication spectrum. I've worked on all our brands, but also before that, I've worked on some really cool and fun ideas when I was at the agency side in public relations. And I was a journalist as well for a better part of 15 years. So specialized in communications. This is kind of my calling to get into the industry I love the most, which is the automotive industry. And it's a pleasure to be with all of you here today.
Thank you. And also welcome to Rama Murad, a Dubai-based fashion, beauty, lifestyle, and travel influencer.
Thank you, Ola. It's obviously a great pleasure to be here with such experienced people and to be discussing a matter that is very important and close to all of our hearts. And I've been an influencer for the past 5 years in the lifestyle and luxury domain.
Amazing. And finally, Ghalib Zeidan, the Regional Managing Director in the UAE for Culture, L&D, and Partnerships at Weber Shandwick Minat.
I think my introduction will be shorter than my title. So my name is Ghalib Zeidan. I'm the Regional MD for Weber Shandwick. I've been with Weber Shandwick for the past almost 15 years and in the industry for more than 20 years, 18 of them in the UAE. I've worked with so many brands and so many industries, name whatever industries in the market. I work with them over the past 18 years. I'm especially interested in communicating with human, communicating with people, resonating with people, and adding value to whatever, or adding value to people through our communication, through working with brands and bringing brands and people and their consumer or their audience and stakeholder closer.
That's amazing. And thank you all for joining us today. I'd like to start with talking about Influencer Arabia report. Ghalib, why don't you tell us more about it and what you hope to achieve with it?
So Influencer Arabia report, it came from we identify a need. The need for coming up with this report is, first, there is a gap in the market of understanding influencer marketing. And from the influencer's point of view, there is so many reports about how the brand they perceive it, how agency they perceive it, but there was no one single report showing how influencers they perceive their own industry, how they would like to work with brands, and what's their point of view on that. This is from one side. From another side, as well as a need in the market and as our need as an agency, and this is reflected on the whole industry, there is a need to understand how we can work better with influencers and how we can serve our client and we can support our client and make their life easier, bring more efficiency, bring more impact, or drive more impact and add more value. So that's the reason we started the journey of building this report. It took us almost 6 months between having the right questions in place, identifying the influencers that we want to reach out to, reaching out to them, getting the responses, analyze it, and coming up with the full report.
Amazing. And that's, of course, very interesting for influencers as they get to give their perspective and opinion and be heard in the market. And Rama, as an influencer who contributed to the survey and attended the event and saw the report firsthand, what aspects of the report stood out to you the most?
So first of all, as Ghalib said, this report literally did fill a gap. Throughout my experience in being an influencer, I was never asked, not just me, I think in the industry itself, we were never asked questions that about our concerns, what do we think should be done in a better way between us and the clients to have a better communication and a better results in the end. In the report, I remember when the PR agent sent me the report, I looked at it, she said, it's going to take you a while to fill it, it's a bit long. But while filling it, I did not feel the time because every single question I wanted to write, I wanted to give more and more details into my answers, knowing that this report will be heard and it will be shared with clients as well. So this part meant a lot. From the results after attending the event, I think my favorite part was, which came in the results, was the relationships. Because while filling, you don't know what other influencers are feeling. Like while I'm actually answering all the questions, you think that this is something that's I'm feeling, Rama is feeling, 1, 2, 3.
Personal.
But yeah, personal. But once attending that event and seeing the overall results and looking at the report, I realized that no, it's not my issue with the brands or my issue with the clients. No, everyone is prioritizing the exact same thing that I think I prioritize. Coming back to the relationships, I think it highlighted that relationships plays a huge role with us influencers and the clients. Once we build that relationship, it makes us happier delivering that content. It makes us wanting to put the extra effort, going the extra mile to make every piece of content we deliver to that certain brand that we already built a relationship with extra important.
Amazing. So the more stronger the relationship, the more you're willing to give, the more you're willing to go the extra mile.
Exactly. And since we're here today, I want to mention a small example about relationships, which is related to Cadillac. I remember last year when they were celebrating the 25th anniversary for Cadillac. Going into the event, it was an invite. There was no budget added into the event. And usually when I go to such events, I put in mind, I'm going to make an appearance. I'll most probably give 2 to 3 stories as coverage just to return the favor from getting invited. Then I remember from the beginning of the experience, I received a message that day that a car is coming to pick me up. That was the first step where I was like, oh, this is extra. This is nice. Even though I drive, I have a car. They did not just send me. For example, they could have sent me a Cadillac car for me to drive into the event. No, they sent a driver coming to pick me up from my house and then obviously bringing me back home. Entering that event, I remember, first of all, it was selected names that were invited. Like it was a very small event, which even made it more and more special. Entering there, I remember everyone called me by name, which means the world to us influencers. Like
recognizing we would, you,
exactly.
Yeah.
We would expect this from PR girls because they talk to us on a, like PR agents in general, because they speak to us on a daily basis. They know us by name. We've seen them in multiple events before. But to have the senior people who work at Cadillac, people who like hold a great value at the company, knowing us by name, greeting us by the door, this changed the whole experience from entering.
Building then, that connection exactly. with the client themselves,
yes.
with the brand themselves.
And then the smallest details that were added into that event, like how our names were put in on the table. You have a certain place with your name. Everything is customized from food to music to the everything. Everything was super customized. The attention to details was amazing. That I remember when I went back home, I reached to 10 stories and I'm like, Rama, your story is already cluttered. But still, I wanted to give more because every single detail deserved to be shown to people.
It meant to you.
It meant so
amazing.
Much to
that's
me.
An amazing example. Thank you, Rama. Ronald.
But that's sorry.
Carry on.
Before,
I love hearing this.
No, but before Ronald go, because this is exactly like what Rama just mentioned. Is exactly what the survey showed, that 66% of the influencer, they said that building a meaningful relationship or connection with the brand and the people behind the brand is a key for them to create that collaboration.
Yeah.
And having a VIP experience, working with the brands, especially in events, it's a key element. So it's, I believe what you just said, it's in line with other or most of other influencers and content creators in the region. They believe is the key to build
what
the relation.
They want in an event as well. Yeah. So Cadillac ticked all the boxes in that scenario.
And to be more honest, we gave this as an example because we work with a lot of automotive brands. So when we went to their events and we were close to the PR people and we were close to the brand themselves, like we would give that event as a benchmark. So that's how good it was. And I, like, till date, it's been a year and I'm still talking about this event so you can know how good it was.
So, yeah, Cadillac has been setting the standard for luxury for 120 plus years. So I'm really happy that you had this experience because it was, that's what it was designed to convey. And to go back a little bit on the survey itself, it was quite helpful. Like we've been dealing, I've been in the industry now, it was, if you call journalism influence, I was a quote unquote an influencer for a number of years. In the automotive space, and the way the market worked with people of influence was of a certain manner, right? But you were either a journalist, you were a socialite, you were a celebrity, or whatever. You had influence, but you were used for your primary reason. Now that we have people dedicated, such as Rama, to that, you know, to being social influencers or automotive or mechanical or whatever it is, or educational, the way you need to handle these, because now that's their primary role and, you know, income and so forth, needs to be different. And that's where I was quite interested with the survey results. When Ghaleb invited me, I was like, no, this is interesting. Like, because we think, we know a lot, obviously, because of experience and we've been there, but it's based, it's very anecdotal from your perspective. And I really wanted to see it from your perspective, from Rama's perspective, and the, I think 500 total influencers responded. And it's good to validate the things we know, and we're doing okay. And it's good to learn the things we may not be doing okay, some of our blind spots, and really improve, because the audience is chosen. You know, influencers, social media is where they want to get their information and their data and their, you know, ideas and inspirations and aspirations as well. And we owe it to the audience to elevate the entire industry to a point where when we're dealing with Rama and her peers, to do it the way they expect it to be done, and also that everybody comes out a winner. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to be doing it on the expense of any other stakeholders, correct? So that's the approach. And I really value Weber Shandwick for putting the effort and the investment, I'm sure, to get into it. It's not easy to pull these things through. But yeah, it's quite insightful and it brought us here today. So it's great.
Amazing. And Ronald, you've been in the automotive space for over a decade now. So, of course, you've seen a lot of changes in the pattern when working with media and influencers. How important do you see for a big global brand like General Motors to work with content creators and influencers?
I would say it's life-changing. And I'll give you my personal experience. I'm a victim of influence since I was in my single-digit years. Influence back in those days was, you know, from a car company such as General Motors, putting their coolest cars in the coolest TV show, right? Some of the listeners may not remember, but Knight Rider had a Pontiac Firebird called Kit. And for me, that was like the thing I dreamed of when I was a child, you know? So that brought me in, that influenced me. And it not only influenced me as a child and what my hobby is, but what my aspirations for my career. I wanted to be in automotive. I wanted to design cars or have something to do with vehicles. And so that started I don't want to say my age, but, you know, it started quite a few years ago. So, and then that evolved, right? It went into music and then went into magazine covers and so forth and being, you know, these big blockbuster movies like, you know, Transformers created a whole new generation. And I think it was 2007 when it came out. And then social media broke out around the same time and it became a vehicle and a platform to carry all those, you know, create a new breed of influence or influencers, I would say. And now we're here, right? So it's all this has gone We can't say it's not important. We've been using it and investing in it for decades, if not more. The communications industry from the early days, the 1800s, they've been, you know, putting key people of influence or key people of notoriety or even famous people at the center of campaigns and movements, even political movements, to change opinion and influence people's decisions and thought process. So it's absolutely important. There's no two ways about it. And the better we can work together to make it beneficial for all parties involved and eradicate misinformation and abuse and all that kind of stuff, the better.
Amazing. And Ghaleb, in this growing landscape of influencer market, how do you see the agency's role is in this, beyond the contact between an influencer and a client?
So agency role is critical in building this collaboration between an influencer and brand and vice versa. It's finding the right influencer for a specific brand or defining a specific brand to work with or pitching a specific influencer for a brand. It's a key element with our work. It's like that matchmaking process between both sides is important, because at the end of the day, not every influencer can work with every brand. They should share a common value, common purpose. They should speak the same language. They should have even close persona between the influencer and the brand, and even having a same approach toward communication. I'm not saying they should be exactly the same, because if they be exactly the same, it will neutralize the adding value. Each, the brand, they will have their own identity. The influencer have her or his own identity, but they should have a common ground to build on. And that common ground is our job to find where that common ground work and which best influencer can work on a specific campaign for a specific brand. Let's say if we're working between Cadillac, GMC, and Chevrolet, each one of these brands, they have their own identity. You need to find the right influencer to work on each one of them to make sure you're adding value and to make sure they're resonating with the audience of these brands and at the same time the audience of that influencer. So that's matchmaking process. It's a critical element in our job. There is the admin element. There is the management element, the admin element, the financial element, the contracting element, which is sometimes it's a bit more painful, but it's part of the job. But finding the right influencer, in a nutshell, finding the right influencer for specific brand, specific campaign is the key challenge to make sure you're amplifying the value that they added. And they finding someone who's sharing the same value and the same purpose.
I think it's a true partnership as well, right? So because like if I use my team, you know, we're a team of four total, and like there's so many things that we can do in a day, right? So the agency in these cases, especially when we're thinking specifics, is a resource multiplier, but they've got the we're very centric to our world, right? So we have our KPIs, our messaging, our objectives that we need to get. And sometimes that skews the way you think or kind of narrows your field of focus to smaller subset of, let's say, whoever the target is, whether it's an influencer, a media set, or so forth. The agency gives us that ability to, because they work with multiple top industries, and they might have a view to, I'm going to use Rama here as an example, to execute a certain message a lot more effectively and efficiently than if we wanted to do the, let's say, the good old way, you know, or a different way, or a thing that we've tried and worked before, but we're just not that, you know, we just don't know that there's a different way, or we're not aware. And that's where the agency plays an invaluable role in giving you that extra insight that can that gets your head out of your own problems and then shows you a wider picture. I think
that's consultancy and out of box thinking, that you're not stuck in the day to day stuff. Someone coming from outside with a different perspective and a wider perspective, because you're working with different brands, you're working with different influencers. So you're someone, we go to a client where they're saying, okay, we want to work with this, with only, let's take the automotive. We want to work only with automotive influencers. And this is what used to be early days, is like automotive, they only work with automotive. But then automotive, they agencies like us find that automotive, they can work with luxury. They can work with lifestyle influencers. They can work with sports influencers. So widening that that pool of influencers from one side and telling the story or the narrative in so many different ways from so many different angles. So it's the same narrative, the same story, but the angles will be different. You're telling the sports, or you're telling the a car story from luxury point of view, or from technology point of view, or from sustainability point of view, or from sports point of view. That's the job of the agency, to help the client or the brand to discover all these angles and to find, to go to that matchmaking process to find the right influencer or the right tools or the right platforms to communicate that narrative.
Sometimes it's not just what you offer. For example, not me being a luxury lifestyle influencer. Sometimes people follow us, for example, and they get inspired by everything we do, and they want to get that exact same lifestyle in a way. So they get inspired, not because of anything else other than the person themselves. Like, oh, okay, I like this influencer. I aspire to be just like her, living her lifestyle. So I would go and get 1, 2, 3. So it could be not just the industry itself.
Yeah, and it comes from like your experience in that field.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing in that field, and that's what inspires them. And of course, now we know that there's a lot of growth and demand from clients to work with influencers, to do events, campaigns. So of course, you have a very busy schedule, Rama, and a lot of clients and agencies are reaching out to you for campaigns. How do you decide when to work with a campaign on a paid basis or an unpaid basis?
We go back to the first point that we've mentioned, which was mentioned in the report as the main finding, which is relationship. First, let's start it with saying that me personally, I would only work with brands that I resonate with and brands that would fit my personality, things that I believe in. So it's not just the campaign or not just the budget as the first point. Then when we mentioned relationships, we spoke about relationship between me and the brand. But there is a point that we did not discuss, which is also relationship between me as an influencer and the agency itself. Sometimes I don't know the brand. I've never worked with a client. I've never dealt with them. I don't know anything about them. So there is no relationship built. Yet if I've dealt with the agency for a long time and people who work there and they've been working on our relationship for a while, I would do it sometimes just for the agency. Like, okay, I like this agency. I like the people that work there. I can try and work with the client.
I like that positive relationship.
And the determining factor, obviously, this is my full-time job, so I would always try and aim to get it as a paid campaign. Let's say if there's no budget, but I see a future and the agency confirms that this brand wants to see my capabilities and they want to start the relationship for future paid campaigns, and there's always a space for me to grow with that brand, then definitely I would do it even if it's on barter basis.
So yeah, definitely. It's a relationship, but it's also a give and take relationship. It's a two-way relationship. So you will do for the brand will do for you as well. And that's how you build it for a long term. So in terms of partnerships or content campaigns, Ronald, after working on a campaign, how do you decide if this collaboration gave you the KPIs or the achievements of what you wanted?
At the center of everything we do, our thought process is the end user, the end receiver, the end consumer, the customer, and the audience in this case. So when we do set out to do a certain campaign with a certain influencer, it really depends. We'll tailor our KPIs depending on what the objectives and the expectations are. And I'm a big proponent of giving them some creative latitude, because that's what we're there for, right? We're there to appeal to a certain demographic or a target of that influencer or a number of influencers. And they're there for the influencer. They're not there for the brands they're pushing, right? So we need to make sure that the authenticity that the platform provides is protected. Of course, our message needs to go through in a certain way, but we will work that extra, step to make sure that it is genuine and it is faithful to our brand, of course, on a value basis. We're not going to work with influencers that, misrepresent or do things maybe not, completely correctly, but also in a delivery type that resonates with the audience, because that's what's going to stick. If you're going to push an audience a message or in a manner, in a platform. It doesn't matter if it's from whoever else, right? If her followers are scrolling through, and let's make a big realization here. These are all micro engagements when you put them all together. When you're scrolling through a reel, you're there for 30 seconds. You have about a 2-second window where you're going to decide to engage or just skip, right? And that's the moment where that matters, right? And if it's not for you, you'll probably not get through the 30-second reel or to the second picture in the carousel. You're going to skip to the next one. Yeah, you got the view, but was there a salience behind that view? So that's, for me, that's where I'll get into the nitty-gritties. And I love working with smaller I don't want to call them micro-influencers, but, you know, up-and-coming influencers that are growing because of their genuine authenticity. And that's where I believe there's a lot of untapped, you know, potential for everybody, you know, because they grow, you benefit, the audience gets what they want and the way they want it. So depending on the stage of a cycle of a product or a message or a brand campaign, whatever it is, we will set those true. We want to work with volume. Then obviously there's a certain subset of influencers we have to work with, and our metrics are clear. It's got to be volume driven, right? Engagements are very important, but then the types of engagements don't matter as much. But if I want to deliver a very specific safety message to a very specific subset of the demographic, let's say young mothers that are struggling to figure out how to put an ISOFIX chair in the back of their crossover, and I partner with Rama, for example, here, and then we put a tutorial video, shares is my number one KPI. You know, I don't care if 20,000 or 10,000 viewed it. I want a certain percentage to share it, because that's what's going to make my message effective. You know, if 20,000 viewed it and 10,000 shared, that's a potential exponentially of 30,000+ people that have seen the message. And if they shared it even more and it became, you know, I don't want to use the viral, it is viral, but if it goes viral, that's amazing. But that's not the primary role. But that's the idea. Depending on the message, depending on what the campaign objectives are, you set your KPIs and it might differ. But also, we have to admit that volume does drive everything else. So there is a minimum threshold that you need to be in to justify the investment.
That's interesting as well, because the second choice for influencer in terms of when they're measuring their success of their campaigns, it was share. So 68%, they mentioned that reach is their number one factor to measure the success of the KPIs of a campaign. While share with 63%, they choose share, which is, I believe, it's right. Both of them, they bring that volume, but there is another layer there on top of that, is how many people they actually seen the whole content, because now social media platform, they will allow you to see how many people how many seconds each person seen of the video. And it's clearly that the first 2 seconds of each video is the key.
Yeah, and there's something called initial plays and then replays.
Right.
Because if your video meant to them, it means that they're going to replay it, and it shows you how many initial plays, how many replays.
Yeah, but the second, it's important, because as everyone talking about it and know about it, a human attention span from 15, 20 years was around 12 seconds. Now it's around 8 seconds, which is funny enough that it's below than a goldfish attention span or memory, which is a 9 second.
Yeah, when I was a magazine journalist, people started saying 1,000 words is where you need to stop, and then it became 800, and now it became 500. Then a picture was worth 1,000 words. It had to be pictures on social, right? Now then it's video. Now it's short video. Now it's long video, back to 30, 60 seconds. So the trends evolve and change. At the end of the day, you need to make sure that you comprehend them and how you go to market with, from a brand's perspective at the very least, and make sure that you remain true. In my opinion, I'm a trained communicator from university. I graduated, you know, with my, you know, aspiration to do this for a car company I love, and I do it. But for me, my laser focus is the audience. That's who I want to connect and engage with. And then the conduit and the platform will continue to change, and we'll continue to evolve our ways so that we can maintain that relationship with our end users.
Great. And I want to come back a little bit for about shares. Ronald, you mentioned shares when it's specific type of content like tutorials, shares are important. And Ghalib, obviously, you said in the report, a lot of influencers value shares. Rama, for you, what does shares mean to you? Like, it's an important metric, but what does it translate to you?
Yeah, of course. So basically, obviously, likes are important, comments are important. They all mean that people are valuing what I'm posting. But Ronald mentioned something like views, specifically views. People might not like what I posted as the video. They don't resonate, but they're just scrolling and I gained a view from that. Yet when they're sharing it, it means whenever any of us receive a direct message with a shared video from someone you know, you're definitely going to watch it full on because you know that that person sent it to you specifically because it resonates with you as well. Or there's something that that person wants you to see. Meaning when anyone shares anything that I'm posting, first of all, they trust in my content to a level that they're sharing it with other people. They resonate and they think that the other person also resonates. So that view, I believe not only the share, also that view that I'm receiving from the person who this video was shared to is a lot, like it means a lot.
It's more exposure as yeah. well, definitely. Okay, so...
I want to say, so it matters also the if the effective engagement of that audience for the said influencer. Let's say in Rama's case, again, you're here, we're going to use you as an example. If she sets a setup for us and it gets that traction in her audience, we know that she's good for it. She's trusted, she's got an engaged audience. But if you go with I'm not going to name names now, but there are a lot of influencers that do some, I would say, subjectively nice content. But you could tell from the metrics that nobody's really engaging with it, right? I might like it. I might be the person, but I'm not the tens of thousands that I want to reach, right? So I'm talking to like maybe an audience of a few. So it's unfair to them, of course, as creators, but they need to work to find that niche or, you know, or maybe choose a different profession.
To understand their audience more even, because maybe they're doing great content, but it's not what their audience relates
Absolutely.
To. So it's very important to know your audience and what they want out of you, yeah, why they're following you.
At the end of the day, it's a simple communication basic rule. You need to understand your audience. You need to understand your narrative. You need to understand your content. You need to understand the platform. Now, with the algorithm behind the platform, what's the best performing...
You said the algo word.
That's sorry?
Yeah, the scariest word.
It will be deleted in a second. The type of content, what type of content working with this audience, with this platform. So all this knowledge, you need to have it before you create any piece of content. But there is another element that sometimes it throw all these elements to the trash bin, the creativity. Yeah. Creativity is the changing factor. As you said, Ronald, they might do like something nice, something like it's been done in a proper way, very professional way, but audience, they don't prefer that. They might prefer something else. And creativity is play a greater role. And this will take me back to the survey where creativity or creativity freedom was one of the top reasons the influencer and content creators they chose for them as a driver behind working with any brand. So getting the creativity freedom to create and to come up with content that represent them and represent the same at the same time the brand and resonate with their audience is a key. And this will take me to another point, which is an extremely important point, which we didn't mention so far about the finding of this report, which is that the 63% of the influencer, they posted in last year more about causes that they believe in, about personal causes or causes that mean to them on personal level, while 30%. They significantly posted more about these causes. And this will take me back to the point that these influencers, they are more than just a handler. There is a human behind that handler. And this human, they have their own opinion. They have their own beliefs. They have their own driver and their own motivators, which is sometimes, as I said at the beginning, it might not match with the brand. And this is why you can see that a lot of influencers and brand in the past period, due to all the challenges or all the conflicts and all the issues that are happening in the region, they decide to take a step backward and to study what's their next step, which best influencer to work with, which best brand I would like to work with. So this element is important. Combine this with the creativity will give you that human element behind the handler, which is, if you combine it with all the technical element, understanding of the messages, the brand, understanding the audience, et cetera, will help you to get a viral story or a viral content that will resonate with your audience, that will serve the brand, that will serve the influencer itself and the audience, and will create and add more value and impact.
I remember before when people used to create any campaign for a certain brand, it was done in the old style, like in an ad way, where it's obviously an ad. Oh, I love this bottle of water. You know, it was done in such a old style way. Now, I think every single campaign that I'm seeing on social media, it's done in a human way, supernatural. You're integrating the product into a video that you're doing, which resonates much more with your followers and the people that are...
And it's the element also of storytelling. Storytelling is a big thing now on multiple platforms. People want to... There's videos of influencers that get ready with me while I tell you about what happened with me that day. So people are really interested in that authentic and...
Authenticity. That's the key driver now.
And that's what we need to... In my opinion, that's what needs to be protected by all stakeholders. Even brands, marketeers, they need to be careful with not turning this authentic platform or this platform with authenticity at its core into another, you know, TV ad or, you know, push, you know, whatever the different models are. And you know, like these people parroting brand messages and stuff like that. We need to be super careful with that because we're running out of platforms. You know, we've done it for print, we've done it for broadcast, we've done it for, and I'm saying we because we're all party to...
As a comms industry,
we're all party to this over-indexing on something so much that it loses that authentic flavor. And then the audience tune out, they go to the next thing, and then we got to have to rebuild there, so...
But the good thing with social media, you're having the immediate reaction from the audience. If you're trying to be so corporate and you're trying to bombard them with messages day and night, they will drop your page, they will drop your stories, they will drop your platform, and they go somewhere else.
The impact is immediate.
Yeah, so the impact is immediate, while versus the print media, it used to take ages or months until you see the impact. Now you can see the impact immediately on the spot with the level of engagement, the comments, the shares, the reach, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so now I want to address the elephant in the room, AI. Let's talk about AI with the recent expanding of AI usage around every single aspect of our lives. We see that there's still various opinions about it from influencers, from agencies, from clients. So Ghaleb, from your perspective, how do you think AI is affecting the industry now?
Look, AI, it's one of these, it's the recent wave in human history. If you take it from communication perspective, let's say in the past 150 years, there was like the newspapers. Everyone started communicating through newspapers, and there was like specific platforms you can get the information from, and then things move into a broadcast or the TV or the radio, and it was like, wow, that's amazing. I remember watching the other day the first TV show or that been done in a cinema. It was like a couple of seconds of a train passing through, and the first time they put it in front of the audience, it was in black and white for sure. They put it in front of the audience in a cinema setup, and the train pass with no sound. At that stage, there was no sound. Pass with through the screen, everyone start running away from the room because they thought that train is actual and it's coming toward them, because that's the first time human been like an interaction.
And it's not even 3D.
yeah, it's 2D, black and white with no sound. But this is the first time interacting with a visual of that kind. So people, they're always a kind afraid of change. We can see here from the survey that 56% of influencers that have been surveyed, they're uncertain. They're not decisive when it comes to AI. 30% they're positive, while 15% they're negative. So there is no decisive opinion. There is a lot of uncertainty about it because it's something new. With wave of the change, the way we communicate and the change, the way we consume information in the past, from, as I mentioned, TV, then the internet back in 2000, 1990s, 2000, then the social media. With each wave, people, they start, they first time they will get scared from, okay, what's this? This is something new. I don't know how to use the tool. And this is the reason why people are scared, because they don't know how to use the tool and they don't know what the tool can bring to them and what's the pros and cons. Now with AI, it's the same case. There is another factor I will talk about, the AI, different than anything else. It's the same case. AI is there. There is a lot of talk. Everyone is talking about AI. From communication perspective, the industry is still trying to figure out how to use AI into their advantage, their brand advantage, etc. But everyone's still scratching the surface to a certain point. The main scary, if you want, not scary thing, I would say pain point with AI, things is happening at speed of light. Before, like between internet and social media, it took years to move from the internet and the digital communication into the social media communication. Now with AI, things it's appearing or happening in less than 24 hours. Yesterday, I just watched a video about the new tool where you can, like, working on a couple of tools, you can get like a content, put it on Gemini or ChatGPT to create for you a song, a lyrics. Then you take that lyrics, put it on another AI tool that will give you the music, and then another one that will turn it into a sound. And then here you go. In a couple of hours, you can create a song with no singer, with no author. It's just with no producer. You can create a real song that you can go and broadcast it somewhere else with a couple of clicks. So the speed of change, it's what scares people.
It's a concern, yeah.
Yeah, this is one thing. The other thing is, it's always with AI. AI is not a threat at this stage. AI is another tool. It's the threat to our career, to our jobs, is the person sit next to us who know how to use these tools better than us.
Absolutely.
But you mentioned something about the fast change with AI. Like before, technology would the changes would be a bit slower, giving more people more time to adapt and learn the technology and keep up with the times. But now with the very fast movement of AI and technology, people are worried because there's not enough time to catch up and educate themselves and get to know these tools, so they'll fall behind, and that's the threat that you're talking about.
Absolutely. But you need to adopt that adaptation mindset to be able to grow with your career or to continue your career or to be able to communicate with your audience. I remember when digital media become the trend, and then social media become the trend. Everyone said like all these like TVs and radios and newspaper and magazine will close. No, what they did, they adapt. They turn themselves. Them yeah,
those some, that didn't yeah, adapt.
Yeah, the one who didn't adapt is the if you want the Nokia or the Kodak example, the one who never didn't adapt, they fell behind. The one who adapt, they turn their media outlet, their magazine or newspaper or TV or radio into a production house where they can disseminate all this production or all this content through different platforms, including social media, including digital media, etc. So the power of ADAPT is a key for us to be able to survive. And it's always the key to survive for human being.
It's true that you must adapt or face irrelevance, but in the space of AI, we use it at a limited basis to drive productivity and efficiency, and that so the work is not getting smaller and the teams are not getting bigger. So any help we can get from technology to make things easier would be great. Give us a bit more headspace to think and be creative and innovative and, you know, work on relationships and so forth, rather than doing the mundane stuff. My bigger concern, it's not a concern really, it's a watch out for AI, is from the creator's creative perspective. It's quite a powerful tool, even today in its relative infancy. I know we haven't even scratched probably 10% of what its capabilities are. Especially on the public available stuff, you know, platforms that you use. But for creators, I would say, given that authenticity is their biggest currency, AI is a risk to them if they overuse it or not divulge it. So people are aware, almost everybody and their moms are using ChatGPT for cooking recipes and so forth. So it's only two steps before, you know, you probably ask it to do your taxes or whatever, you have a mundane job at home. And then second, you can start detecting the trends that AI uses when it comes to creative, let's say, captioning or imagery or whatever it is, you know, titling and stuff when it comes to this. And that once you start seeing that, Influencer X is using, it's so obvious that it's AI, you start tuning off, right? So because you're there for the genuine and the authenticity, you're not there to be served another, you know, all the other big box or big brands, like, you know, the whether it's furniture or, you know, food or groceries or shoes or whatever, they're always bombarding you with their AI generated ads anyway. And you start, after a while, you start recognizing that trend. And then when it starts being served by the person you trust, that trust will be lost at some point. And then where do we go there? So that's where my watch out is. It just to be as, like, use it where it helps make your life easier, but don't try to hoodwink people into thinking that it's working for you. And I think some of the social media apps already have, like, labels that automatically apply when they detect the thing. And obviously it's on them to make sure that they're not applying that brush on everybody. And then obviously, a little bit of responsibilities and care is required.
I would add to the risks that Ronald just mentioned, is like, which is another topic that I don't think we will have time to talk about today, is the misinformation and disinformation. AI is like the deep fake and all these tools. It's a bit scary. So the misinformation, disinformation that AI can drive, it's like any tool. It's like nuclear technology can make a bomb, or you can make a reactor that provides electricity and help people. So there is a pros and cons. There is two sides of the technology. It's how people, they decide to use it.
So it depends on the usage and the intention when using it. And like Ronald said, authenticity matters, and using AI can help you, but don't let it do it all. So Rama, in terms of content creation and as an influencer, how do you feel about AI? Do you use it? Are you worried about using it? Or do you want to learn more about it?
I agree with what Ghalib said, is that it's simply a tool. So personally, I don't use it with captions, because captions, as Ronald said, it has to be authentic. It has to represent what I'm thinking and what I want to say to my audience. Yet, so far, I've been using it maybe just for emails, to improve my emails. That's it. I did not dig deep into it. I don't think I need it in what I do. And I don't think it's ever going to replace what we do, because as Ronald said, there's authenticity added to the human being that you're actually following. So there's no way that there's such a thing now as AI influencers. So I don't think that they will ever be similar to us humans influencers.
And like Ghalib said, the human behind the handle, that's what's
exactly
important.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And Ronald, from the perspective of a global company, we heard here and there are some policies that might be in place in terms of using AI. How do you think, as a global company, the approach is to AI?
Our global position on AI, I'll keep it to communication. So we're fast followers, but we're not looking to change the realm. We don't have a, you know, we will advocate that it is used fairly and in the correct manner and divulge when used. Whether that needs regulation, I leave that to the AI experts to conclude. But it doesn't hurt when people know what the rules are on both sides, and it helps on the authenticity and the messaging side, that when the consumers do receive this information, they know that it's through a vetted source. For example, I'll segue into the local regulations we have here in some of the GCC markets on influencer, you know, being registered and being, you know, part of the fabric, I would say, a legitimate fabric, and not like, you know, gung-ho, you know, side jobs, people just doing it for a quick buck. So I really appreciate that there is some level of importance being put on that, because they are influential, and then they can turn a you know, a positive into, or they can magnify a negative or a misinformation or what that have you. So if there is some accountability enshrined into the system that can hold them technically accountable, those that choose to not, you know, follow the rules or do the responsible thing by their society and their community, I think, yeah, that always helps, you know. It helps us, it protects our effort and investment, and also protects our message to the end user, so it's not misconstrued.
Yeah, I agree. I believe it's that legal framework is going to benefit brand and influencer. It's going to be a tool to make sure both rights are protected, and at the same time, the audience who are influenced by this influencer as well, they are influenced by someone who's accountable for what they're doing. But I think at the same time, there will be a bit pain point toward this process, while people get using to it, people getting their license, brand understand what type of license they need to get. Because if you go, like, I will give the example of Abu Dhabi government, the licenses, there is different licenses that each brand need to get for the job, so understanding of what license you need to get to acquire before the job, it's important. At the same time, for an influencer who's working in Abu Dhabi, they need to understand that there is a specific criteria you need to meet to get your license. But that legal framework is for sure, it's a positive thing that bring a legal framework around that relation and protect both parties. Right.
Okay, amazing. This, I think, has been a great discussion so far. Thank you all for sharing very valuable inputs about different topics. So as a parting message, if you can give a piece of advice to your peers in the industry from your experience or learnings, or even maybe from something you see happening in the future, what are a few words you'd like to say? I'll start with you, Ronald. Any piece of advice or anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, my closing thought here is, and I'll keep probably people bored of hearing this, is the audience has voted with the influencers and on social media and whichever way they like to consume their content. We should respect that, and we should do work to make sure that we protect that authenticity, because it serves everybody. Everybody's a winner when, you know, things flow clear and transparent. And then that needs to remain the key driver of why we do what we do, and, you know, and how we engage with this platform and those content creators.
Amazing. And you, Rama, any words?
I would say everyone should download the report and they should see, because I do know that this report was sent to over 500 influencers, meaning that all the results that came out are things that we really do believe should change, or they would improve the work between us and the brands. It will elevate everything that has been happening for the past few years, especially that this was never done before. Taking a look at this report will help brands understand what should be done or how things should be done for them to benefit more from influencers and for influencers to be happier with the brands as well.
Amazing. And Ghaleb, what would you like to tell us?
I will just would like to thanks, Rama, for your note about reading the report. That's amazing. I would like to remind everyone, like in the communication industry, that there is always a human behind the handler. Influencer, they have their own opinion, they have their own belief, they have their own motivation. Commercial, it's not always the only motivator for an influencer. Yes, this is their job. This is some of them, they are on a full-time job, but they have the option to select between brands. So for brands, work with the influencer that represent you, that share with you a common value, common purpose, common beliefs. Do not go work with someone who doesn't resonate with your audience, because at the end of the day, when you're working with an influencer, either a paid collaboration or if it's a free collaboration, these people, they become your ambassadors. And for influencers as well, all the time when you're working with brand, make sure to work with brand that they're going to add more to your audience, because you have a responsibility toward your audience. Do not work with brand that you cannot be a generalist, like working one day with automotive, second day with healthcare, the third day working on lifestyle, and then luxury. Or if you want results showing that the influencer who work with everyone, they lost their game and they lost their audience at the end of the day, because that authenticity element will be always lost. And for everyone who's listening to us, if you want to work with any influencer or any brand, please come to Wabershan. We're happy to support.
Should have had to put a plug in.
That's great. Thank you all very much. I, for one, cannot wait to see what's coming next. And thank you for tuning in. If you are interested to read this report, Influencer Arabia 2024, you can download it from webershandwickmina.com. And once again, many thanks to Mipra for giving us the platform to craft this message and episode with you. And have a good day.